We're glad that you are with us, and again, we want to extend our best wishes to those who are visiting with us, and thank you for your presence here, especially some who maybe are here for the first time, or at least some that it's been a while since you have been with us. We want you to feel right at home. Do you recognize the Old Testament book from which these words come? My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Do you recognize that as an excerpt from the book of Proverbs? That's an excerpt from the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs. The opening nine chapters of the book are a discourse. It's a father talking to his boy. A father talking to his son. And obviously, a son at the age and the point in life where the son was going out into the world on his own, was old enough to now leave home and be a young adult. And the father, in these first nine chapters of Proverbs, he is speaking to his boy and trying to give him some advice and some wisdom and express concerns. And that's something that I think all of us who are fathers and have had our children grow up and reach a point where they're old enough as young adults to be out on their own, we can relate to the conversation here that this dad has with his son. I remember very, very vividly when Nathan and Taylor reached a point after a couple of years here locally at Florida College. They decided they were wanting to go away from home now, go to school in Bowling Green. And I remember the emotion of that as they packed up the car and everything and they're leaving home. And Amy and I are just, we're just bawling. I mean, you know, as the car goes away, they're all as happy as they can be, and we're just crying, you know, and as we're waving by and everything. And the next time I cried like that was a year later when they called and said they wanted to move back home. The fact of the matter is that children were not designed by God to stay children. They were designed by God to grow up into adulthood and to be adults and serving God out from under the oversight of their parents. And that's the way God designed it. And even the tensions that occur so often between parents and, say, their teenage children, or maybe their children when they're just turned 20 or 21, right in that age, those tensions that are there, it's the inevitable result of the fact that those kids want to be out on their own. They want to leave the nest. And they need to leave the nest. God wants them to leave the nest. Eventually, their parents want them to leave the nest. But it's a difficult transition time. And all those problems really are the result of something good. The attitude that young people have to be independent is a good thing. The attitude that young people have to be on their own and be able to make my own decisions, that's a wonderful fact of life. That's something good. And young people need to make their own decisions and be on their own and be at that stage of life. And so all of that is something which is very, very good. May I this morning, though, give you some advice as young adults? And we have several young adults, or those who are close to being at that stage where they're able to leave home and be on their own. Maybe they're going away to college. Maybe they've been to college a little bit, but they're really going to be leaving home and being totally on their own. Can I give you some advice, not from me, but from the Scriptures? and talk with you about some things sometimes that young people, when they reach that stage of young adulthood, they don't keep in their minds. And so I want to talk with you this morning about some things that young people need to keep in their minds. Some advice for young adults. First thing I want to say to you, if I may, is the fact that as you make your decisions in life now, that you're on your own, make sure that you don't try to, let me back up here, pardon me. Make sure that you don't try to prove how independent you are as you make those decisions. Don't try to prove by the decisions that you make just how independent you can be. Let me explain what I mean by that. Do you recall in Luke chapter 15, the parable that Jesus tells about the prodigal son and how he tells his father, I want my inheritance so I can leave home and make my own decisions and be on my own. And so the text says that when the father gave the boy his inheritance, he left his father's household and he went to a far off country. And he wasted his life in riotous living. Let me just ask you this question. Why did that young man choose to go to that spot when he finally reached a point where he was on his own and could make his own decisions? Wasn't it because he was trying to just get as far away from his upbringing and his parents and all those things about that stage of life as he possibly could? He wanted to prove to himself that he's independent, he's on his own, and in order to prove to himself that he was totally on his own, he went as far away from his home life that he previously known as possible. That was a mistake. It was an immature mistake. And sometimes that's the mistake that young adults make with the decisions that they're now making. When they reach young adulthood, they're making decisions just to prove, maybe to themselves, well, nobody tells me what to do now. I'm making my own decisions. And so they purposely choose to do things that go against what their parents would have said, go against how they were brought up, maybe spiritually, morally. And what's the real motivation in all of that? It's not that they have just rationally just gone through a process of reasoning about this, and so I'm making this kind of logical reason decision. They're making that decision just so they can be different from how that was when they were being brought up. That's the way a lot of young people are when it comes to religious things. Young people sometimes say, well, as soon as I turn 18 or as soon as I turn 21, as soon as I'm out on my own, well, I'm not going to come back to church. I'm not going to darken. I was made to go to church. I'm not going to do that. And why are they making that decision? Just to prove how independent they are. But do you not really see what you're doing? What you're really doing is still allowing yourself to be controlled. It's just that you're deciding, however I was brought up, religiously or whatever, whatever morals I was brought up with, well, I'm going to just turn away from that just to show how independent I am. You're still under the control then. You're just reacting to it, but you're still allowing that to control you. You know, every young person needs to come to their own sense of faith. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14, the faith that you have is your own. And indeed, that's exactly the attitude that every young person needs to have when it comes to things religiously and spiritually. You need to decide, do you really believe that there is a God or not? Now, don't say, well, I'm not going to believe in that because, well, my parents brought me up believing that, and so you're just trying to rebel against that. No, that's that foolhardy, immature attitude. No, go ahead and be an adult and reason about that. Is there really no God? Is that really what you believe? Do you not believe Jesus rose from the dead, that he really is the Son of God? If he isn't the Son of God, well, then spurn him then. Who cares? But if he is, you need to come to your decision about that, and you need to make your life right with him. And so don't just decide, well, I'm going to go on this path religiously or spiritually just because it's the opposite of how you were brought up and you're just wanting to prove to yourself how independent you are. That's the height of immaturity. That's still not being dependent. Be an independent adult and come to a decision about whether or not Jesus is the Son of God. If the way that here at the Valrico Church of Christ, if the way that we're worshiping, if this really isn't the proper way to worship, or if there are other things you can do, or the teachings that we're upholding here, if they really aren't the true teachings, well then spurn them. But make sure it's because you've determined they're not the truth. Not just because in your immature desire to be proving I'm an adult, you just spurn it just because it was how you were brought up. Do you see the point I'm making? That's a common mistake that young people tend to make. It could be that the faith system that your parents have brought you up with, the religious system that you are used to, it could be that really is the truth. And so you maturely and as an adult mind, you determine what the truth is. And if that is the truth, then you follow it and accept it. Not because your mom and your dad brought you up that way. Not because that's the upbringing you were used to. But because you know it really is the truth. And then that's you being a true independent adult and having your own faith. That's the way to reason about all of that. Let me say something else to you, if I may. Don't make rash decisions. Don't make rash decisions. Hasty, thoughtless kind of decisions. Proverbs 14, verse 16 says, "A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless." It's a powerful statement. Let me read that again. "A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless." For several years, I served at Florida College on the faculty and served on the Welfare and Discipline Committee, and that kind of put me in a position where I was constantly faced with some of the foolhardiness of young adults. So I kind of feel like I know this firsthand. Of course, I myself was a foolhardy young adult at one time, and I can recall back at how I was at that time. But a lot of times young people, and it's because they're now an adult and they're on their own, and so they just want to just go do the things that they just feel like doing. And I understand why. It's because for all those years they've been under the pressure of mom and dad, and mom and dads are so restrictive. We all know that's part of the job description. Their whole purpose in life is to keep children from doing those things that are fun and good. And so, when you get out there on your own, it's just like, woo! And yet sometimes there's just some decisions that young adults make that they're not thinking. And they tell you afterward, you know, when you say, "Why did you do that?" "I don't know, I just wasn't thinking." Yeah. Several years ago, there were some students at Florida College that just decided, you know what would be a really neat thing to do? Just a lot of fun on a Saturday night. Let's just fill up a bunch of balloons with water and let's just start throwing them at the residents of Temple Terrace. That's a great plan. And they didn't give a lot of thought to that, as was evident by the fact that they decided that the way that they were going to launch these water projectiles was by getting in their car and driving around Temple Terrace and just throwing them out the window. And apparently it never crossed their minds that due to the inevitable laws of physics, when you are driving in a car that is going 35 miles an hour and you throw a water balloon out the window, that water balloon that's now hitting this Temple Terrace resident is hitting them at a force of 35 miles an hour. Let me tell you what.
there were some problems that occurred as a result of that, that those young people, we just never thought. I mean, water balloons, it's just funny and all that, you know. And then, boom, 35-mile-an-hour projectile. You know. Give you another one. There's some young adults several years ago that decided that it would just be a really good idea to a couple of girls one Friday night that were going to be in their car stopped at a red light intersection. Well, let's just get out of our car and put a mask over our face and go up with toy guns to that car and let's just kidnap those girls. Well, won't that be fun? Won't that be a nice joke? Well, that's how they reacted to it. Until people who witnessed this, they called the cops. There were two masked men with guns that kidnapped these women at the red light. These young college boys, they got arrested. They spent a night in jail. And were charged with kidnapping. Well, but they never thought about that. Yeah, that's right. They never thought about that. Rash decisions. Proverbs 15:21. Folly is joy to him who lacks sense. Isn't that a great proverb? Folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. And so often what can happen to young adults in their zeal to be a young adult, they just make these independent decisions rashly and thoughtlessly and don't think of the consequences ahead of time. That's immaturity. That's immaturity. Be better than that. Be a better adult than that. A lot of times young people make rash decisions about places they're going to go. Maybe it's because, well, the group was talking about this and somebody brought this up. And so you didn't plan to go to that place. It is a place that you had no business going to if you're naming the name of the Lord. But it just kind of happened. And so you just rashly make those decisions. And you wind up with horrible consequences. There's a lot of rash decisions that are made by young people on dates when they're with their boyfriend or girlfriend. At that moment, a lot of foolhardy decisions that are made that ultimately wind up with consequences that can last a lifetime. You need to be better than that. You need to be more adult. And you need to have some wisdom. And I'll tell you how you can get wisdom. It's by remembering this. Seek out wise counsel. Seek out wise counsel. And this is one of those things that young adults tend to balk against because that just reminds them of how it was back when they were children at home, under their parents' tutelage and all this, and I don't want to revert back to that because I'm so glorying in my independent adulthood and all that. Listen. Listen to what Proverbs 12, verse 15 says. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Got a lot of boys that want to be men today. Okay, be a man then. Be a man. Be a wise man, not a foolish little boy. Be a wise man. And this proverb says, a wise man is he who listens to counsel. But that fool is the person who just says, well, I think such and such, and so I'm just going to go with that. What you need to understand is that, yes, you are now a young adult, but there are other people who have been adults for a lot longer time, who have more experience about certain things. Seek out their counsel. Have the humility to seek out their counsel. Proverbs 28, verse 26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. And then Proverbs 23, verse 9, gives this warning. Don't speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Some people don't even bother trying to talk with them, because that person is just going to despise what you say. And oftentimes, the person who just despises the advice that somebody else gives, it's that young adult who's just trying so hard to prove I'm an adult. And so they despise counsel from someone else. I appreciate so very, very much the numbers of young adults in this congregation that don't make the mistake that I'm talking about here, but instead, they'll give you a call, and they'll say, can I talk with you about something? Can I get your advice on something? And they recognize their own lack of experience. And rather than having some kind of youthful pride that says, well, I don't want to have to admit that I'm needing the counsel of somebody else, instead, they have the adulthood and enough wisdom to recognize their lack of experience. And they seek out the wisdom of other people. You know, very often when you talk to people who have made certain decisions that have just been absolutely fraught with dire consequences, and you ask them, why did you not come and talk about this? Or, you know, well, the answer you get, well, I knew what you would say. Isn't that right? Well, I knew what you would say. And you see, that's kind of the approach a lot of people have, and oftentimes it's young adults that have that. It's still that childish kind of pride that, well, I didn't want to seek out that counsel because I knew that they would tell me not to do what I wanted to do. What was going to just be so fun, and I didn't want them to tell me that, so I didn't seek out their counsel for that reason. But do you not see how absolutely childish that whole approach is? That's not being a man. That's not being a woman. It's being a little kid. And so, seek out wise counsel about those decisions in life that are so important. Decisions about maybe where you should go to school or what kind of career path to go into, and maybe some issues there that you as a young adult maybe hadn't thought about. Who you should marry. Issues maybe about that, or issues of various things in regard to spiritual matters and spiritual concerns. Seek out the counsel of those who are older. And again, the point I'm trying to make is, and these Proverbs are trying to make, is that counsel that is wise is most of the time going to come from those who are older. Don't be like Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12. You recall that classic story where Rehoboam, he had the opportunity to listen to the advice of the older men about the best way for him to rule, or his young companions, his contemporaries, and he just went with the advice of those who were youthful and inexperienced, and he suffered the consequences of it. So don't make that mistake. Seek out the counsel of those who are older, who maybe have some wisdom about maybe even some of those moral issues. It's amazing how many times young adults, in their decisions they make morally about what would be an okay place to go and for entertainment and this and that and whom I'm with and all that kind of thing, it's amazing how often their opinion on that so differs from those older Christians. Ask yourself the question, why do those older Christians feel that way? Yeah, maybe it's just because they're just a bunch of old people that just don't know anything. Maybe that's true. And I could see why you'd look at me and Pat Gill, and that's what you would conclude. That's exactly right. I look at Pat, and that's what I think about. But maybe those older Christians have a reason for why they would eschew that kind of decision, and why they would say, no, that's not wise to do that, and no, I would not do that. Maybe there's a reason why. And you need to be mature enough as a young adult to seek out their counsel and find out why they would disagree with maybe you or your contemporaries about those kinds of things. Let me tell you one final bit of advice, if I may. You need to remember that one day you will face God. One day we all will. In fact, let me read some verses here from Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And again, the book of Ecclesiastes, just like the book of Proverbs, it's an older, experienced man talking to those who are younger. Young adults. And so here's what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. He says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things." What a powerfully important concept to think about. He says, in your days of youth, well, rejoice in that. That is an exciting time. I've said this before. I mean, I enjoy hanging around those young people, those young adults. I'm jealous of their physicality and the youthfulness, and I can't do the things athletically that they can do. I probably never could do some of the things that they do. But I'm jealous of that. I just envy that, not in a sinful way, but I think you know the point I'm trying to make. And that's great to be young and to have your life before you and to be excited about that. That's wonderful. But remember that just like all of us, one day you're going to stand before God and give an account. And that's where young people, young adults, sometimes they just sort of put that out of their mind. Again, it's because in their zeal to be independent and on their own, they don't want to think about all that. But be mature enough to think about it. One day you're going to stand before God and give an account. So yes, as he says here, live your life and go through your youth with joy and anticipation and all that. Just make sure that you think about the fact that one day you're going to stand before God. And what's God going to say? And you know, you can pretend to just not think about God, and I'm just going to ignore that, you know, and you can do like a lot of people, and you know, well, I'm not even sure if there even is a God, and so you kind of do all that, but that's not going to change the reality. Jesus is going to return one day, and you're going to stand before him. And as a young adult, there's no more excuse for you. You know, when you're a child and you make those childish mistakes and your parents kind of bear the responsibility for a lot of that because, well, you're a child and you're in their home and okay, you know, and so, you know, you kind of get a pass when you're a kid for a lot of those foolish mistakes you make as a child. But when you become an adult, you don't get a pass then. That's part of what being an adult means. It means being responsible and being accountable. And so you need to make sure that you realize that. The Apostle Paul made a statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Be a man. Be a woman. Be a young adult. And don't just try to prove how independent you are. And don't make rash decisions. And don't fail to seek out advice and counsel from those who are more experienced than you. And for goodness sakes, remember your Creator. Because one day, He's sure to remember you when you stand before Him on Judgment Day. I hope these things will be of help to you. We have some fine young people here, some fine young adults, and I'm proud of you. We all are proud of you. And we we appreciate you. I hope these things will be of help to you. Is there someone here this morning that needs to respond in some way to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can we baptize you into Jesus? Can we assist you in some other way? If you have a need, let that be known. While together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.